Father, we thank you for the chance to gather. Please make us people who love to serve you, who love to speak of you, who love to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read for us Luke chapter 10 on the inside of your sheets there. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Well, lots of big stuff, big claims, challenging stuff in these passage. We'll have time to think about some of it in depth, and some bits you have to come up and ask me about afterwards. But to start off with, let me ask you this question. Would you like to be an ambassador? Okay. I don't know what you picture in your mind as an ambassador. Maybe it's ambassador to the Bahamas, and you're there, you've got your cocktail in one hand, your golf club in the other, and you just think, yes, give me some of that. Or maybe you would take it seriously and be like, oh, the honour, the privilege of being an ambassador for my country, carrying its messages, embodying its values. I'd be ready for that. But it depends who you're an ambassador for and where you're an ambassador to. You know, being the US ambassador to Syria would be a less attractive option, I imagine, for some. In this passage, Jesus commissions ambassadors. It's Christian ambassador school, if you like. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, "We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us." That's kind of what's going on in this passage. So the last verse, verse 16, "The one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me." It's how it works with ambassadors. What do you think here today? Would you want to be Jesus's ambassador? Maybe you're not a Christian person here today and you just think the thought of people sharing their faith, you find that awkward, offensive even. Listen in and see what you think of the message that the ambassadors are to take. At least I hope that by the end you'll see that if that message is actually true, well, you'd want to be an ambassador and it would be right to take that message out. Maybe you are a Christian here today and you could be in a whole range of different categories. You could be there going, yes, an ambassador. What a privilege. What a joy. I'm on board with that. Others will be thinking, well, it's just too costly, too socially awkward maybe to stand for Jesus in my workplace. Or maybe we think, well, it's just too much time, too much effort. I've got other priorities. Well, let's see what Jesus says. Verse 1 to 2, Jesus says, he's a king who sends ambassadors, and we're to pray for more. The king sends ambassadors, pray for more. So Jesus is a king. Verse 1, he's the Lord. 9 and 11, he's got a kingdom. And verse 1 gives us the basic structure of ambassador life in this world. He appoints ambassadors, here, 72, to go into every town that he himself is about to go to. Now, that's true for them then. In a way, it's true for us today. Jesus is still a coming king, and we are to go ahead of him to prepare people for his arrival. 72 are sent, but more ambassadors are needed. So verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. I grew up in Wiltshire, I should say, and driving around Wiltshire, not many people, but lots of tanks and lots of fields of full of wheat. How are they going to get that bumper harvest in? Well, you just see the one guy in his combine harvester and he gets the job done. But imagine the first century where there's no such machinery and how many people would it take to bring in a whole harvest by hand? Oh, Jesus is saying, this is the picture, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The problem is not harvest size. So Jesus has a great multitude of people from every tribe and tongue and nation and people that he is going to save, that will be round his throne on the last day. Maybe some fields will have more harvest in than others. So in verse 10, there are whole towns that reject the message. But the problem ultimately is not harvest size. The problem is worker numbers. Either there aren't enough ambassadors, or the ambassadors are too busy sipping cocktails. Now, we just have to beware our activist mindsets. Maybe some of you in Canary Wharf are, your management consultants, and you hear, okay, there's a problem at the worker end. What have we got to do? We've got to go on a recruitment drive. We've got to get the finances in place. We've got to, equip and train the workers. And there's a place for that. But Jesus' solution is a lot more humbling to activists. What does he say? He says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. We're to say, we lack, we can't create or motivate ambassadors ourselves. Can't even motivate ourselves, apart from the work of God in our lives. It's just not in our gift. Lord, you must appoint more. Before he trains us to go, he trains us to pray. We were praying for more help in the Wharf Worker ministry, and out of thin air, someone came along and said, I can give you a day a week. Would you like it? Oh, okay then. And Jesus is at work across Canary Wharf. You've seen this story time and again in the lunchtime ministry. People who, in their own words, would describe themselves as drifting, wandering Christians, getting gripped by the gospel and desperately going out of their way to share that good news with others. That's not the work primarily of men. It is the work of God to change our hearts. The most strategic thing we could do for mission in the Wharf is to pray. Not just to say we'll pray, but to actually pray. I'm committing myself to actually praying that we'd have a witness for Jesus, an ambassador for Jesus, in every floor of every office in Canary Wharf. Just as a starting point, will you commit to actually praying that with me? So the king's sending ambassadors, we're to pray for more. Before we get into the rest of the passage, I just want us to take a step back and to try and work out how does it apply to us today? Because it is a specific time and specific people that it's talking to. It's a specific time. So in verse 4, they're told not to carry a knapsack. But in Luke chapter 22, verse 26, Jesus changes that and says, from now on, carry a knapsack. Okay? Doesn't even apply to these guys for the whole of their lives. It's also to specific people. These are 72 pioneer ambassadors, maybe Philip in the book of Acts, not the 12 apostles, but part of the foundational apostolic band. Not everything applies to us directly, but it does apply to us now. Because as the gospel spreads, foundational ambassadors establish embassies, right? Churches all over the world. And those embassies are filled with workers with different gifts, different roles, but together working for the embassy mission to hold out the message of the world and to embody to the world and embody kingdom values. Some are set apart Bible teachers. Other people put bread on their table. Maybe there'll be some people in the room who should quit working for the bank and start being a full-time paid set apart word worker. But irrespective of how bread ends up on our table, whether we put it there or others do, all of us are embassy workers. as Christians. We're working together to get our king's message out to the world. The king sends ambassadors, us, and he says, go. He says, go. So verse 3, he turns to the 72 and he says, go your way. Get out of here. Britain's just appointed Chris Campbell to become British ambassador to the Dominican Republic. What do we want to see him doing? And where do we want to see him doing it? Not cocktails in Whitehall. Something in the Dominican Republic. We're to go our way. Jesus says, go. Jesus defines the job. So verse 5, he says we're to proclaim peace. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. That's not just a greeting, that is a summary kingdom message. So in Luke's second volume, Peter preaches in Acts 10:36, and he says he's preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Jesus' big message to the world that we're to carry, peace. Peace with God for rebels like us. See, Jesus' kingdom doesn't give, I don't know, 5-year temporary visa access only if you can cram for your religious entrance exam and only if you can prove your moral income's above 30,000 and you're going to be useful to the kingdom. No, it gives full, free, full passport rights to helpless refugees, to people who cannot help themselves, to those who know they need forgiveness of sins. The king who sends us ahead is on his way to his throne, but he's going via the cross. He's going to die to take the punishment you and I deserve. As we speak of peace, people can become sons of peace, daughters of peace in verse 6. That peace can rest upon them. That can be ours today if we pray to Jesus, I need peace with you. If we're already ambassadors, well, we're to proclaim peace. We're to get the message out. If only there was a whole week of talks coming up, which we could invite people to, spread across Canary Wharf, there on your tables. Why not take it away, pray through, think through who you can invite. But why not, don't just leave it as come and hear, go and tell. Sit down one-to-one with people. Pray hard. Organise a little event and invite Marcus or myself along. We'd love to be involved in that. Support word workers going out. Pay for that. Get the message of peace out. Verse 3, ambassadors are to go despite the fear. Not just proclaiming peace, but despite the fear. It's not a good picture, is it? Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Tends to not end very well for the lambs, I imagine. Why is that? Well, it's because proclaiming peace is surprisingly offensive. You know, it's just the logical flip side. So America sends a trade delegation to China to make peace because there's a trade war, right? It's the flip side of the same thing. This peace, proclaimed by Jesus, proclaimed by us, says we need mercy. We need it. And without receiving it, we're in trouble. And we must serve Jesus as king. He's king, not us. Oh, it's surprisingly offensive. One missionary story that is going to stay with me for life, I think, is Adoniram and Ann Judson, who were pioneer missionaries to Burma as it was then. And it was just utter carnage for them as they first took the gospel to this new country. It took them 7 years to see their first convert. Just the horror of rudimentary medicine techniques. They were accused of being foreign spies, and Adoniram was put in prison for it. It got so bad as they held out the gospel and as it was rejected and hated that Anne at one point was staggering through the streets of the capital, holding her baby, pleading with native women to feed her baby because her breast milk had dried up because she was so malnourished. Okay, it was just carnage for them. And yet there are 2 million people in Burma, Myanmar, who would trace their spiritual heritage back to the Judsons and what they did, the sacrifice they paid. I have this little thought in the back of my mind. It's a joy, but it's also a challenge, that I'm going to meet Anne and Adoniram Judson in heaven, and they're going to say, so how did it go sharing the gospel? And I'm going to say, well, it went okay, but it could have gone better. I was just a bit afraid of the kind of social cold shoulder when I told people I was a Christian, so I didn't do it as much. I'm going to understand grace, but I'm going to feel pretty embarrassed standing there talking to them. We're to go despite the fear. Verse 4, go ambassadors without distraction. As they go, verse 4, they're to greet no one on the road. Go without distraction. Get the message to where I've sent it. Our job is to be the ambassador, so we're to take the message. We're to not get distracted from our job. A recent US ambassador to the Bahamas was fired because he'd taken the job thinking it would be a cushy number. Instead, he had to kind of pull together 24 agencies, and he just couldn't be bothered. He just went out to the golf course every day, and he got fired. We're to go to our work without distraction. There's an urgency. So if we never tick off all the bucket list, it's not the end of the world. The new creation will be great. If we don't make it as far up the career ladder as we could have done, it's not the end of the world. If the message doesn't go to the ends of the world before the end of the world, that is the end of the world. That is catastrophe for the nations. That is dereliction of duty. The song says, from cowardice defend us, from lethargy awake, forth on your errands send us to labour for your sake. What does it look like to be an ambassador? Well, maybe it looks like the Judsons in Burma, but it can come dressed in a sharp London business suit. People praying hard, people inviting to things like Questions for Life, people sitting down one-to-one, people handing out flyers in the streets, people running little dialogue events. The King has sent ambassadors. We're to pray for more, and we're to go. We're to be those ambassadors. Lots in this passage we haven't got time to think about. We're going to spend the remainder just thinking about this last point, world, don't reject. So that's the big thing of verse 10 to 16. It contains messages to the world about the awfulness of rejecting. So verse 10 to 12 is the warning of judgment. Some people slam the door in the ambassador's face, and if that's their settled position, well, they're to do this. Verse 10, whenever you enter a town, they do not receive you. Go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you, or the NIV says, as a warning to you. See, the king and his kingdom is coming. And for those that accept, that is wonderful news. So think the Allies in World War II, they reach Paris as liberators, they bring peace and blessing. Well, that's what happens as the gospel is accepted. Verse 9, these ambassadors bring peace and blessing, the sick are healed, they proclaim, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But look what happens in verse 11. There are no miracles. There's warnings of judgment. And yet there's still to say, nevertheless, know that the kingdom of God has come near to you, rejecters. See, the arrival of the Allies' kingdom into Paris was good news for the French. It was bad news for the occupiers. But both were the arrival of the kingdom. The arrival of the kingdom is both good and bad news, depending on which side you find yourself and which side you choose. And the Jesus who loves us to death is the Jesus who wants to warn us just how serious this is. So look what he says in verse 12. Say to these towns, the towns have had every opportunity to turn and have peace and just thrown it back in their face. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Now that is devastating. So Sodom was the very picture of sin in the Old Testament, and God judged it with fire and brimstone from heaven. And Jesus wants us to make a double step of logic to get just how serious this is. So think about how serious it was for Sodom in this life. Then think about how serious it would be for Sodom on the final day of judgment. Surely much worse. But then for these towns, even worse than that. Fire and brimstone preachers rightly get a bad name. We're not to delight in talking of judgment. We're to tremble and we're to be heard saying, peace. Peace is on offer. And yet, this is Jesus issuing a fire and brimstone warning. The ambassador's job is to deliver their boss's message. Sometimes the message is a joyful thing to deliver. Sometimes it's a sober thing to deliver. Tough new sanctions on Syria or whatever it is. But the ambassador's job is to deliver it, not change the message and not dodge the hard bits. In a recent survey, 40% of Christian millennials, I just about sneak into the millennial category, despite the hairline, it's true. 47% of Christian millennials say it is at least somewhat wrong to share one's personal beliefs with someone of a different faith in hope they will one day share the same faith. It's not talking about forcible conversion, it's talking about just beginning to share your own beliefs in the hope that one day somebody else might become a Christian as a result. 47% said that that was at least somewhat wrong, which is another way of saying 47% of Christian millennials don't know what the gospel is, or they're trying to change it. Without Jesus, we face judgment, and we're charged with holding out the message of peace in the context of that. We all deserve that. It's a humble thing. It's not a proud thing. We're saying, come and hear the message of rescue from what we all deserve. At work, if you're charged with selling some new product that's got a lot of rubbish bits to it, what do you do? Well, you either appeal to upstairs to change the product so it's easier to sell, or if you've got to pitch that thing, well, you emphasize all the really good bits and you hide all the really bad bits, right? Well, imagine instead that you were charged with selling something like the Mona Lisa, a product that is utterly perfect, and any change you made to it would just make it worse. You wouldn't change anything, would you? You wouldn't draw a moustache on. There might be darker bits to the picture, but that serves to make the brighter bits look the better. You don't change it, you deliver it intact. Jesus' message is perfect, and we're to deliver it intact. Because this isn't just a fly-off-the-handle rage we're talking about. God's justice is good news. It is right and fair. And it's something that deep down we long to hear is true. You know, think about, at the extreme, think about a Jimmy Savile, you know, dying in his bed, lauded by society. What do you imagine? You imagine dying there with a cigar still in his hand or something like that, pleased with his life. Don't you long that there was justice beyond the grave? God will deliver it. Verse 12, there's a day coming. And verse 14, it's a day of judgment. Can we really trust anyone to deliver justice? What if they go too far? What if they start serving their own ends? Well, Jesus, he's gone to the cross to say, show how trustworthy he is, that he would love us enough to die for us. And if we had time, we could get into the verses and see that Jesus shows that judgment is fair, it's proportional. We're to go, we're to be ambassadors, we're to proclaim peace. We're to not change the message. We're to pray for him to thrust out more workers into his harvest field. Let me lead us in a prayer, and there'll be a chance to talk about this briefly around tables and then to ask any questions you might have. Father, we know that there are sobering realities in these verses from your son's lips. We pray you'd help us to love you, to trust you, to serve you, to be your ambassadors, to rejoice in the peace you hold out to us. In Jesus' name, amen.